Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Contented. You know, that's what every Christian should be. And the word in the English is just real fine. You know, you're contented at the moment. That isn't what the Greek word from the manuscript means. As always, the manuscripts mean you got a little bit of preparation that you must do. Autarkes is the word. And it is spelled A-U-T-A-R-K-E-S, pronounced autarkes. You know, it's an interesting word. It means to be complacent, to be set in place, but it's what the primes are that is very interesting. It means to fortify oneself. You know, it takes a little doing to be content. You've got to fortify yourself with what? The Word, of course. Or your contentment's probably just a passing thing. And then the other prime is an awesome, much deeper thought. It's even kin to the word I in the Greek 109, and you're all familiar with it, like we're going to meet him in the breath of life body. So it means, get on to this, a backward breath, okay? Meaning this, what does breath be? Spirit, okay? That a contented person has this awesome spirit within themselves that moves backward anything negative that might come against it. This is why when a true Christian walks into a room, that presence is felt because of the contentment within that one. That's why Jesus would even say, when you're giving your alms, don't put on a long, sad face. It's just hard serving God. Well, you lose your whole contentment there and the whole purpose of it, showing that you don't truly understand how to be contented in the first place. Because it means you must be so sure of your Father, for He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all the things. And He has made promises to you, and if you keep your part of the bargain, if you put buffers up, and if you can put a buffer up and a little stuff's going to still get through, but hey, you know how to handle it, to still maintain contentment. You're a can-do type person. So I find this a fascinating and interesting word. And as often, to be content, it takes a little doing on your part, okay, to see that it is a lasting thing. Things that happen overnight, I mean, I'm happy today, I'm down tomorrow, that's not contentment, okay? Contentment is to be contented in the Father regardless of what the situation around you is. Naturally, we're concerned. Naturally, we hurt at times. But at the same time, don't ever, ever doubt your Father that He is with you. I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians, to chapter 4. I suppose we can use old Paul as an example because he was a man that had a lot of hardships, but at the same time, he was content. I mean, he was whipped, shipwrecked, used the whole gauntlet. He never doubted our Father. And I suppose he's a good example we can go by. The Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast. I repeat, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. That is important, that you're not one of these fair-weather Christians. I mean, as long as everything's going good, oh, you bet, praise God. But let the first little occasion arise and you head south, instead of facing the enemy. Stand fast. You can be contented and still stand fast to do battle with any enemy force. Why? Because of the prime of the Word. There is a spirit within you that will back off from your fortification anything negative that comes forward. And you can trust that. That's the prime root, if you would, of contentment. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias, which is Dias for some. This is feminine. It's a woman. All right? And beseech Syntyche, another woman, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Evidently they worked with him there and prospered there in the, with the blessings of Christ and Paul. 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, you that are hooked up with me, you that work with me, you that are not afraid to pull a plow a little bit when you're tied to me, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, meaning mild in the Greek tongue also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I mean, that's where the church records are kept. That's where yours are kept. And that's another reason you can be content, that man doesn't keep your record. Man would get it all messed up if he were to keep your record. I'm sure he does everything else. But God knows your heart and mind, and he knows your contentment. He likes to give you contentment. He keeps the records. 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, not part of the time, always. And again, I say rejoice, be happy, be content. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. And, you know, many might say, well, that was in the year 64 A.D. Hey, it wasn't long till they were meeting the Lord. I mean, they passed on to him and met him, saw him. You see, we in the flesh don't. They do. It may not be under the best of circumstances if they haven't watched their P's and Q's, but be that as it may, the book is waiting for us. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. This word should be translated anxious. For worry warts, it means be careful that you don't worry. Okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't moan and groan and complain to family, neighbors, and everybody else about what your requests are. They probably aren't going to be able to help you. In all cases, they're certainly not, but I know somebody that can. It's our Father. If your request is legitimate, if your request is according to His plan, fits His plan, His purpose, He's going to see that you have a right and a way to be contented because He loves you. He is your Father. Do you know something? He wants you to be contented, but at the same time, I want to nudge you. That means that you have action within that also, and that's to say, put up a fort. Fortify yourself in the Word, in the knowledge, whereby you have a better understanding, because a Christian that is really well-founded in the Word becomes an adult. Sometimes we see adults act like children. Well, if that's their state, so be it. That's what they are to you, and adults have a greater responsibility. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It gives you a maturity that makes it much easier for you to be content because you understand what they're going through, but by the grace of God, there go you. You could still be out of the Word and in the world, so to speak, but you're not. So that in itself is a great deal to be contented with. Verse 7, and the peace of God, the what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it's tough, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He will help you. He'll help you to find that peace of mind, which is, in a sense, contentment. will help you build that fortification to the point that nothing can jar you. Hey, never let them see you sweat on your first cruise, friend. You know, you're something special. You're a child of God, as all children are. But when you have seen the truth, then you are to protect your credibility to the point that you set that example for others. That it's the right road. It's the right thing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. This is what you want to look for? Log them off. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what you want to think on. Analyze it in adult will. I know this is pretty bad. You might say this old boy's got some problems, but at least we can see these better parts of him. That doesn't mean you're supposed to let somebody get away with anything or anything of that nature, but always look, if you would, for the better things in your brethren. Those things, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do that the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, if you believe upon him, let Paul be your example. Hey, he had a pretty tough old life. Wrote most of the New Testament. He was kind of a villain in the beginning, but he was zealous. He thought he was doing right. He thought the old way was the only way, and he was persecuting this new doctrine. Bad. I mean, he was really giving them what for. Because he always believed in the thing that he had in his mind, and then God touched him, and he could see the truth. And he needed no propping up or anything to have that contentment once he could see the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. It's a good hint for you. You can. Look what he's done for you. Look what the promises are there yet for you to tap into if you'll just do it. That now at the last your care of me hath furnished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. That is to show it. He's giving a little personal note there. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I want you to remember that verse. Doesn't matter what state. Why? He loves the Lord. He's serving the Lord. He knows that there are deep draws we must pass through occasionally, but we are going through. We're going to win. So whether you're up or whether you're down, you be content in the Lord. He's not going to change on you. He's going to be the same today. He was yesterday. He's going to be tomorrow. So don't start sweating just because a little something comes along and upsets your little apple cart for a moment. Straighten that rascal up, load the apples back up, and start peddling. Okay? Let it be the truth instead of apples, though. All right? Somebody might think you were in the garden or something. Okay. But whatever. Think about what Paul said there. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And there is that word, atarkes. That he's fortified. He's built up. He's got a spirit that'll shake anything that looks him in the eye. Boom. And he's ready. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, that's to say humble, and I know how to abound. I know how it is when you got plenty. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And of course this is an answer back to verse 6 where it says, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything. Learn how to handle it. God knows where you are. He knows what your condition is. That's why you would say, make your needs known. If you're in a want there with him, make sure you deserve it first, because if you don't, he's going to ignore you So you want to keep alert in that respect as well. Then we find what in that? We see an example set forth with Paul. Doesn't matter what was happening. He knew God was still on the throne. Surely you know that also. You know that regardless of how upset you get or whatever may happen or what some neighbor does or something else, God is still on the throne and you're serving Him, not the world. And that God is not going to let you go wanting. Now, at the same time, part of that fortification and that spirit you have is to be wiser than the serpent or the wicked. You know, a wise man doesn't let a wicked person in his house. A wise man knows when he's being conned. A wise person knows when somebody's trying to let him be had. Okay? That's part of the fortification. And that's part of maturity, is knowing your proper place, the world you're in. Never go into a place that you're not sure of your surroundings, that you have the ability to handle yourself in those surroundings. That's being wiser than the serpent. Why am I saying this? Because we live in a world that there's wicked places. And a wise person doesn't go there. You go there, if you want to play there, you go ahead. But when you wind up behind the eight ball, whatever that case may be, whose fault is it? It's your fault for having gone there in the first place without being fortified, without having thought it through clearly, without having used wisdom as God's Word instructs you to. You know, I sometimes hear people say, well, I've read those wonderful promises, but they never happened for me. Never, never. Well, look at yourself. My Lord, no wonder why. You don't, number one, look at the conditions that you're supposed to fulfill on your part, and you keep stumble-bumming around, playing with the enemy, rather than standing fast in the Word of God and putting parameters and buffet around you in contentment that you let Satan just walk in and have dinner with you or have you for dinner. What can you expect? I'm going to tell you something. That's not very smart. In the Marine Corps, we had another word for it I'd like to use, but I won't. You know, you've always got that 10%. Okay. And be wise. Stop and think. You're somebody. You're a child of God. And you can have that contentment. Because you make sure you do. And what are you fortified with primarily? Christ. He's your umbrella. He's with you. He's not going to let something happen to you if you use your noggin. If you think. If you do and perform wiser than the serpent. You know, you might say, well, where are you quoting that from? It's Matthew chapter 10. And you should be wiser than the serpent. And as peaceful as a little old dove at the same time. Many people say, well, then you're not supposed to defend yourself. You just hanky with a dove's nest and see what happens. Okay. I guarantee you, you'll draw back a nubbin. She's probably, for her size and weight, she'll protect that nest just like every woman should protect her nest. All right? That's just nature. That's the way it is. So, anyway, be wiser than the serpent. Don't let the world have its way with you. That means the people of the world also. So we find contentment by fortifying ourselves with the truth, with the Word. We don't let anyone take advantage of us or con us. That's part of the fortification. You know, there would be some preachers say, well, that doesn't even sound Christian. That shows you how stupid some are, though. God wants sheep that know the Master's voice and obey Him. Not clodheads. Okay? So, be wise in the Word of God. I don't mean to be insulting anyone. My purpose is Listen to your Father. Believe upon Him. We're not playing games in this generation. We're in the generation of the fig tree. You got to learn to trust Him and to know Him. But you got to know also how to handle yourself whereby you can be content. God expects you to be content. He wants you to be happy, sure of yourself, and yet at the same time humble, and to have the peace of God around you. If God's peace is upon you, do you think God isn't going to be looking out for you? What did He say to Satan? Even when the false Christ appears on earth in Revelation chapter 9, He says, hey, don't you touch mine anointed. You can go down there and hanky with all the rest of them, but you leave them alone. And what are you worried about? I get letters every day, well, what are they going to do to us when we're delivered up? You can see through it, you know what I mean? I mean, it's fine. You know, everybody has the right to be a little anxious, I suppose, if they've never had any action. That's the way it goes. Just be mature and know your Father is in control. Okay, let's move to another place that we can take an example from. Fortify yourself and let the Spirit, that your own Spirit, let's turn ahead to Timothy, okay? Good old Timothy. 1 Timothy. Let's try 1 Timothy chapter 6. Getting old Timothy lined out here so he knows how to handle himself. God lining you up so that you know how to handle yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it reads, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. What it's really saying is, let not the heathen think that a Christian works badly. I mean, if you're taking a paycheck from somebody, make sure you earn it, right? And show the heathen that Christians work better than anyone else. That's why Christians usually get the upgrade if they're really doing it right. Like, I don't care if you're digging ditches, dig them better than anybody else and you won't be digging them long. That's just life. That's contentment. That's a fact. Right? People that employ people, naturally they want better people. Somebody that is responsible, I mean, if he's got $1 million worth of equipment and business and what have you here, machinery, he doesn't want to put some fruitcake over it in charge of it. I mean, you can lose money quick and bad that way. It's just natural. He looks for the best qualified in most cases. You know, we have people that hanky with that occasionally, but be that as it may, it still works for you, and that's what this means. Whatever you do, you be the best at it, verse 2, as you can. And that's sufficient. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. But rather, do them service. You work with them just the same way, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. That's to say, they're going to see the improved service. These things teach and exhort. It's just life, okay? Pure, simple life. That's what he's saying. Verse 3. This is kind of a conclusion we're going to be going into here. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that means someone really serving Him, okay? And if it doesn't align with God's Word, you're listening to a bunch of malarkey, okay? That's real easy to figure out. You got the Word in your hand, make them line up to it. Verse 4. If that is to say people that teach otherwise, you can find them out through their godliness of how they hang to the Word. This is what he says about someone that would teach that way. He is proud, that means puffed up, on an ego trip, knowing nothing, but doting, or a little bit sickly in the Greek, about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, even surmisings. Boy, bad teaching will get you get a lot of church split. Some of them are natural for growth, but there's a lot more than necessary. Why? Because somebody wants to read some rag paper or something else instead of the Word of God. Or they like to get on, in the old days we called them telegraphs, and then they went to nets, okay? Super nets. And the super net has little pegs around it that it reaches out and grabs you and sucks you in. And you know, a person that's got really business to do, like cleaning house and making a living and thinking on God's Word, will spend hours sitting there plunking with somebody that doesn't know. They don't know a donkey from a horse. Okay? I probably better stop right there. That's the net for you, you know. And people waste, I mean, untold hours on that thing. There's a good example of it. It was written in 57 A.D. Okay? And here today, presto, we've got it. So, you know, I've used the net, it wasn't called the net then, for news services, wire services, and so forth, since the 70s, mid-70s, okay? So I have nothing against gaining knowledge, but go where it's documented. The first thing you want to learn, don't listen to something that isn't documented in God's Word or in history. Otherwise, we could have a church meeting here today. I could give everyone in here a microphone and we could all talk at the same time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There might be one here or there that would say something more intelligent than I can, but if all of us talking at once, I guarantee you that's called confusion. I really don't know why I threw that in. I really don't. It doesn't have that much to do with being content, but maybe it does if you look at the deeper surface of it. Okay, verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Boy, you've run across those, haven't you? You can't even start to talk Bible to them because they're absolutely ignorant of it. Supposing, and that's no problem because we were all that way one time. The sin is to stay that way. Supposing that gain is godliness. In fact, money is, okay? That's what it's saying. From such withdraw thyself. Making money is godliness. Well, that's not true. At the same time, I want to say, because there's an overkill the other way, but I don't know if it's because preachers try to rip people off for their money or what, you know. Money is evil. Well, money isn't. It's how a person looks at it and uses it. Because God's blessings can make you rich. And you don't have to apologize for riches when God gives them to you. For service. That's just God's way of doing things. It's when you've got a person that's all they can think about. And that's why God usually only gives the person what they're able to take care of. Okay? Because the reason being, some smarter person is going to rip them off for it and they couldn't handle it anyway. Okay? So God only gives you what you can take care of. The smarter you, well, I better be quiet. Okay. But don't worry about money. God knows what you need. And you are a smart person. Look ahead. Plan ahead. We're not in this for one day. You know, well, we got beans for today. Well, make sure you've got them for several days. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Plan ahead. Look down the road. Okay? 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. There's our word again. Contentment. Where you're fortified. You have the Spirit of God within you. If Satan or any of his little ones try to hanky with you or your family, you blow them over backwards. With the godliness that you are fortified with without ever saying a word. It's there. It's stable. It's steadfast. It's contentment. It's the peace of God that you know God is going to protect you. That's what real contentment is, okay? Knowing we're in it for the long haul and we can cut it because God is, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to be anxious. God's in control. We're His kids. Okay, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And many times I will use that in a funeral service. There is one thing that follows, though. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 documents that your work, why it's in the book. It really precedes you, but at the same time it follows because judgment follows. And your work is in that book. And there's a lot of rewards there for a lot of you. And those rewards are your payday. Okay? But as far as money is concerned, hey, when you were born, you were a naked little old baby. You didn't have a thing in your pockets, what I'm saying. You were broke coming out the... You were broke. And when you die and you go in that coffin, they can put gold rings and all that kind of stuff, but it still don't make any difference. You don't have no place to spend it, okay? It's done. So a wise person knows that. That's kind of foolish talk, but at the same time, that's just the way it is, and that's what Paul wants you to know. In other words, think on the things that are important. That's what he's saying. These other things are not all that important because you can't take it with you. All right? Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Not over anxious. Just plan ahead. You know, you could take a lot of examples of this back in the Depression days of whether people lived in big cities or on farms. Okay? If you lived on a farm and you were a wise farmer, you had a thing called a cellar. Okay? And when everybody else was standing in soup lines, you were eating like a king. Okay? Open up another can of that corn. You know. All right, we got that beef can there too. Bring out a little bit of beef here. And bring in some fresh spuds there out of the corner. Tough times, see? But they were thinking ahead. They had to. Why? If they didn't, they'd be worse than the soup line. Soup line didn't reach out in the rural country. But they thought ahead. I'm using that as an example for you today, beloved. You know, think ahead. Don't be one of these that live. I mean, it's all right to get up against hard times, but rise above living from paycheck to paycheck. If you have to, cut up your credit cards if you use them for credit. If you want to borrow money, go where you can buy it. Don't you always look for a bargain? A credit card is not a bargain. Many of the banks are. Okay? There's nothing wrong with using a credit card, but don't borrow money with it. Pay that rascal off every month. I don't know where I'm getting into this. It's Christmas time, and I guess we all, the plastic comes up. Oh, it'll be all right. Well, it won't. Okay, so all bills must be paid. But look ahead, plan ahead, and look at the better things of Christmas even, or any time of the year. Look at the better things. Look at things you can take with you, all right? So there again, we have the word content in that eighth verse. Fortify, using your head, can-do type person, and your spirit protecting any negative spirit that might try to brush against your family. Verse 9. But they that will be rich, that means they have the desire for wealth, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition means to perish, okay? Let me say this, that the desire for wealth may be more dangerous than wealth itself. A lot of people get such a great desire for wealth that, I could cut a corner maybe. Well, You know, the old Scotchman said, well, son, don't ever chate. But rather than be chated, maybe chate just a little bit yourself. Now, that's not my recommendation, okay? That's usually used against the IRS, bless their hearts. Be humble and cautious, in other words, okay? But the want of money will cause many people to rob banks. Well, why did he rob that bank? Because he wanted the money. That's tough, isn't it? Well, the captain here could tell us where a lot of those boys are roosting today. It'll get you, the desire for money can get you in more trouble than money itself. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. There's that old scripture. Which while some coveted after, they really had a thing for it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, look at God's word and let Him know your needs and work for it. Okay? You know, I really have a hard time myself understanding why somebody would want something they hadn't earned. If somebody gives me something, I appreciate it. But I guarantee you, I'm going to appreciate what I worked real hard for more. Is that just nature? I think so. And here, people give me gifts quite often. I'm just digging a hole right here. But that's just natural. You know? It's just natural that you want to earn what you have. It should be, anyway. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, that's to say, worshiping money, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Let those be your desires rather than wealth. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hey, it's worth going for. It really is, to be content, to be fortified, to be sure of yourself. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth, that means makes successful or alive, all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Why? Because he knew he was going to raise from the dead. That 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. That it covers today, my friend. It still holds true. It's good advice. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, pontiff, that is, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You're going to find out, and that's what's important, okay? 16, who only hath immortality, that's where you find it, otherwise you're going to be gone, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man, no human, hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting, amen. That is to say, a man in the flesh cannot see him. Why? Because he's in a different dimension than we are. It's quite simple. Do we feel the Holy Spirit? Of course we do. But to see Him physically, you know, He must either come to this dimension or you must go to that one. And it's that simple. So again, to be content in your life is so very important. That's the only way that you can really display, that is to say, for your life itself to be a display of true Christianship, credibility in a community, to fellow people that, hey, I want to be there also. I want to be sure of myself. I want some of that. I want that truth. You see, that's some of the richest seed planting there is for someone to be well founded in the Word, not having any outside forces of this world, that is to say, that are so overpowering that they're habitual, but that you've got your life under control. In closing, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. How do we find peace of mind, contentment in the service of God? Chapter 3, Hebrews, and let's go to chapter 13. And here again we have Paul writing to the Hebrew children, and it reads, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content." Content, there it is. "With such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now it's important that you absorb that. Always be content with what you have. Do you, because he will never leave you nor forsake thee. Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, be content with what you have. Christ isn't, if you need more, Christ is not going to leave you or forsake you. All you got to do is believe for it and work for it. All you got to do is look forward to it, plan better, plan for it. One day at a time, take those steps into success. One day at a time. I guarantee you it won't happen overnight, because only mushrooms grow up overnight, and usually that's the poison ones, okay? Well, be that as it may. And they're worthless is what I'm saying. One day at a time, one step at a time, sure of yourself and content, knowing, and it's a promise from God, he will never leave you nor forsake you. A lot of people forsake him. A lot of people leave him. But he will never leave someone. Okay. And that's why to be content is requires something on your part, rather than say, I'll be Christian, I'm saved, I want to be content. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. You have to fortify yourself with the mind of Christ, which is to say absorb as much of the Word as you can, and that takes a little work. And you've got to have enough faith to know that God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge to protect yourself, your home, your family, and to be successful in the world. All right? He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Can you believe that, beloved? It's important that you do. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes when you're pushing ahead and you're way out front, there's nobody else to turn to. You're among, let's say, a whole band of unbelievers. You better believe this and know God's going to be with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to show you the way. He's given you a sharp mind. And if you make the wrong decision, he'll straighten you out real quick, let you know you're on the wrong path, and to get your act together, okay? 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Well, I think old Paul was a good one to follow, along with Peter and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the rest. They brought us this word from God. So follow them. Let Paul be your example. Don't, you know, Paul didn't get shook up on every little occasion. Why? He knew God would not leave him. He knew he was going to win. Even shipwrecked, snake bitten, shook that thing off in the fire knowing God would protect him, and he did. Okay. So you can be sure of yourself for those that have brought us this wonderful, beautiful word by letting the word speak for itself. And if anyone, I don't care who it is, comes preaching to you some different doctrine than you read here, don't be foolish enough to follow it. I don't care how interesting it may sound. If it isn't godly, if it isn't of God, "Well, you don't understand, brother. It's a northern religion." Now, I choose that because there is another religion named by a direction, all right? Not because of Yankees, okay? I didn't say that for that reason, okay? But I didn't want to say, why don't I just chuck it down? I didn't want to use the term, you don't understand, brother, it's an Eastern religion. And it's very wise. Well, that's wonderful. Hey, if you like it, join up and good sailing, okay? But only the eternity only comes through our Father, okay? Be that as it may, God is judge, I'm not. Verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That should strengthen you. You're following someone who brought you the Word, the only begotten Son of Almighty God, and He's never going to change. And do you know something? The Word isn't going to change. You get on a job somewhere, they're always changing stuff. You know, about the time you get used to something working real good, some desk jockey usually will eat a sour pickle and have a bad dream, and here, you know, he's got to do it the hard way then for a while. It does happen, okay? But God and the Son never change. His Word is always the same. That's why when you read it, and when you understand it, you're on sure ground. He's not going to pull the rug out from under you. All right? You may try to shimmy across it and skate yourself, but He won. Okay. Verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace of what? Christ. He forgives your sins. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, let the spiritual things take care of the spiritual things and let the health things take care of the health things. The health things are not as important as the spiritual things. All right, don't anybody be offended at that. That's a fact. 10. We have an altar, which is the cross, okay, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. In other words, if you want to do it some other religion, some other way, then if you don't believe that the cross existed, the price was paid, you shouldn't eat at that table, which is Holy Communion. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, setting the example. Let us go forth therefore with him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, you teach him for what he did. And as it's written, let's say, in the book of Colossians and Ephesians, you teach, Paul would say what? How do we teach Christ, Paul would say? We teach Christ crucified. Why do you teach Christ crucified? Well, because if you teach Christ crucified, you've got to teach who crucified him, where he was crucified, why he was crucified, and the four W's, okay? You know, a teacher must always attend to those things. Meaning, you've got to explain why Christ was crucified. Why? Because he had a controversy and a war with Satan, and so on and so forth. And it was the Kenites who brought about the crucifixion. Meaning, they taught the full plate, okay? And that's what you should teach. That's what you should study to attain in your mind, is the full truth, all right? And that's what it says. Follow him. He set the path. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Meaning, you're not going to have perfection upon this earth. Why? There's wicked people here. Only a fool would think everything was going to be perfect and God was going to make us a rose garden and let the world go by. You were sent here to help that world. How in the world could you do that if you were in some hothouse over here never taking any heat? Or maybe you got all the heat or something, whatever the case. A good analogy, I'm going to let it stand, okay? You were sent here for a purpose. That's to help people. To help people that are lost their path in it. And I'm not saying he sent you here necessarily to be a teacher or a preacher, but just one word sometimes can make a big, big difference. Or if you are content, then certainly within that in your being, that you're fortified. It shows. You don't have to tell people, they know. And that plants seeds and that helps people. It does. It may give somebody a whole change of life. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, or always asking, if you would, beloved, in his name. So there we have it. And there we have some very good examples. Knowing that a word seems so simple in English, content, content today, well, how about tomorrow? We'll wait and see. No, that won't cut it. You've got to know, even if there is trouble tomorrow, you're going to be content knowing Jesus is going to be the same tomorrow as he is today. He's going to bless you one way or the other. And, you know, many times in our life, something really rough toughens us up to where God can really use us. Okay? It just puts a fine-honed edge on that person whereby they can witness for having experienced something. So we know that God knows. And when you're trying, he's the master of the ship. He's going to see that you have that right to be content and to find contentment. Why? Well, for heaven's sake, you're his child. Why wouldn't he want to? Being his child, he wants the best for you. It makes his day when you let him know you love him. So why wouldn't he bless you if you're worthy of it? Contentment is to fortify yourself with the word, with the assurity that God loves you, that he will take care of you regardless of what, and that through him we find the eternity. Father, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the examples that you set forth for us. Let all these, Father, be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student, saying, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. And we've got Carol from Minnesota. I have a question. Is the appearance of the two witnesses the next major prophetic event for us to look for? Do they come 10 days before the false Messiah? Thanks again. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, we can see this has been in the mail a while. The formation of the one world system it's still generating. It almost builds to the deadly wound. So that lets us know. That is kind of the barometer you want to look at right now. But your facts are accurate as far as the chronological order. Jenny from California, if we have free will, does God know what path or on a certain decision we make before we make it? No. He will not interfere with your free will, all right? He doesn't know because, why? Love generates from within each entity. And God gives us free will to either love and follow him or Satan. Therefore, he does not exercise any of those powers. Otherwise, on Judgment Day, an individual would have the right to say, you made me do it. You caused me to. You knew beforehand what I was going to decide. No, he totally turns loose. Okay? And if he does, and he knows we love him, will he interfere or guide us in the right decision? Not unless you ask him to. If you ask him to intercede, he will. Then on judgment day, if you mess that up, and people have a way of messing up good things, good decisions, then you still can't blame him because you asked him to. Okay? I hope you understand the depth of fairness of our Father. Ellen from Tennessee. Is there some verse in the Bible that will tell me that the children should be, how the children should be taught the word? My grandchildren go to a church where the preacher says he is the only one that should teach them, and they don't have a Sunday school program because of this. What should I do? Well, Grandma, let me tell you something. If it's the children's parents that are taking them there, if I were you, I would tread very lightly. It's kind of like they're going to think you're butting in where you don't have no business. And you can really drive your children away from you if you're not real careful on something as touchy as beliefs, religions, this sort of thing. Because, you see, your children's children, they feel it's their right to make decisions for them and to teach them. So you can, if they ask you, or if you want to make a suggestion, all you do is plant a seed and then you leave it alone. Because if you enjoy visiting with your grandchildren, if you enjoy your own children, I would think very carefully. The question and the answer is, set an example for them in your life that they love you, of course, and cause them to love you, and they will follow the seed planting better, but don't try to force.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1 and 2 Peter, that are absolutely